Okay, this is April 14th, and the topic is Being More.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, all month, the month of April, we're going to talk about becoming more. The whole idea in life is to become more. And the reason why we do not become more is because we think that all that we are is all that we are. Does that make sense to you? People don't tell you that you can become more. And you think, oh, this is the best I can be. This is the biggest I can be. This is the best I can become. And you can always become more because you're working with infinite mind. You see, you're living, moving, and having your being in this thing that we call God, or this thing that we call mind. And in that mind are all possibilities. So never limit yourself. Last week we talked about limiting ourselves by putting labels on ourselves, by saying this, that, and the other thing. When you talk, listen to what you're saying. If somebody asks you something and you say, repeat to them, oh, you know I have this addiction, oh, you know I'm this way, oh, you know I'm that way, you're immediately limiting yourself. You have to remember that you're not your addictions. Your addictions are just addiction. Once you realize that they have nothing to do with you whatsoever, you can control those addictions and you can stop those addictions. But as long as you think that that addiction belongs to you, you cannot do anything about it because you think, oh, I'm born with that addiction, or I have it programmed into me somehow that that addiction belongs to me, that that's the way my mind is programmed. It's not the way your mind is programmed. You program your mind doesn't program you. Remember, you are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. So when you put labels on yourself, when you say, I'm sick, I'm this, I'm that, I have cancer, I have this, that, the other thing, please don't do that to yourselves. We have to go back to the basics. And the basics is the dish is never dirty. The dish is never dirty. There may be dirt on the dish. What does that mean? You may have an addiction, but that addiction can be taken away. But if you think that that's permanent, you see, a dirty dish is never dirty. It just, you can wash off the dirt at any time. The dish is never dirty, you see. So you have to realize that about yourself. But you convince yourself that you have something, or you allow other people to convince you that you have something. Oh, you're this way. Oh, you're that way. The mind loves to do that to you because you want to figure out who you are so that you can say, ah, I know exactly who I am. I do this, this, and this. I have this, this, and this. All those different things. And none of it's true, people. You're making it all up. You're making every bit of it up. You're making yourself up. How do you make yourself up? You make yourself up by looking back into your history. And you start with, well, you know I was born here. And you know I have these parents and these grandparents. And I have roots in this community. And I have this, that, and the other thing. You know I'm Jewish. You know I'm Christian. You know I'm Catholic. You know I'm Buddhist. You know I'm this, I'm that, the other thing. Labels. They're all labels. We're all human. We're all people. We're all the same. And we can become more when we start knowing that. And when we give up that idea that we know who we are and that we have all these different labels that we put on ourselves because the mind loves to figure out everything for you. You do this because of this, that, and the other thing. Well, you could do it because of something else if you make up your mind to do it. But we're so attached in this world, and the world teaches that. The outside world teaches you that once you have something, it's chronic, that you never get over anything, that that's the way you were born, that that's inbred in your bones, and all that kind of stuff. None of that is true, people. None of it is true. You have to think bigger thoughts about yourself. You have to see yourself as more than you think you are. And you have to start out each day by remembering that, by doing that for yourself. So the first thing, what do you do when you get up in the morning? Wesley last week said, well, he says to himself, it's just another day in paradise. That you have to remember. We were never kicked out of paradise. You see, the world wants to tell you that, and other people want to tell you that We used to live in paradise, and we no longer live in paradise. You have to remember that we always live in paradise. Paradise is made by your mind, not by your surroundings, you say. So you have to start with that premise, I live in paradise. And then you go on from there. Now, if you wake up every morning and know you live in paradise, wouldn't your life be much better? Instead of saying, oh, this hellhole I'm living in, or oh, this horrible thing I have to go through today, and all this, that, and the other thing. You see, if you start out your day correctly, the day will take over and become that. Now, the next thing you have to remember is what? That you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. You have to start your day out with that. You have to start your day out with that. But you get up in the morning and your mind immediately turns itself on, doesn't it? And it immediately says, oh, you're not going to get this done today. This is going to happen today. That's going to happen today. Then all those things happen. You see, what absolutely always amazes me is, you people say, oh, I can't manifest anything. Well, you manifest all the time, but you manifest on the negative all the time instead of the positive all the time. If I say to you, you can't do that, you say yes. If I say to you, you can do that, you go, I don't think so. There's no difference between it. There's no difference between that, you say. If you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you can't. There is no difference between the two of them. It's in your thinking and in your attitude. Your whole life is caused by your thinking, not by your parents, not by your history, not by your genes, by your mind and by what you are thinking. Always going to be that. But we don't like to think that, do we? And the world certainly doesn't want to tell you that. It wants to tell you that's not your fault. You're not to blame for that. You have to stand up and say, I take responsibility for everything that comes into my life. Once you are able to say, I take responsibility for everything that comes into my life, then you can change it. If you think that it's on the outside somewhere, some circumstance of something causing it, now you're hopeless. Now you're a victim. And you see, we're not here to be victims. We're here to be victorious. We were given dominion over everything. And that means dominion over our thinking. You see, when the whole idea in life is what? To learn to think the thoughts that you want to think and to learn the feelings that you want to feel. I told you one of the secrets of life is learning to control your thinking. Learning to control your thinking. The other thing to remember is when you have a question, a problem, or anything, your mind immediately wants to solve that. It does all kinds of things to solve it. When you have anything in front of you and you're thinking about anything, the three questions that you ask yourself is it true, is it false, or I don't know? And the answer is usually going to be, I don't know. But the mind wants to figure it out for you. Now, what do I mean by that? I'll give you a quick story of a person who was having a relationship problem. And she was absolutely bound and determined that the boyfriend was a jerk, wasn't calling her, wasn't doing this, that, and the other thing. And her mind said, he can't, he's not a man, he's not standing up for himself, I'm going to yell and scream, I'm going to send him off a horrible email, I'm going to tell him all this stuff because he really deserves it, this, that, and the other thing. Now this is the mind telling. This is all going on in the mind. Now the person gets to work and there's an email from the boy. Send it to work and send it to their other address, whether you're just confused, whatever. What I'm telling you is most of the things that you're doing to yourself and thinking about, you don't have to. You're safe. She had all that was wasted. All her anger, all that ranting and raving, all this is what I'm going to do, this is what about, blah, 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 blah. When she gets to work and finds out that he did email her, all that stuff she went through was unnecessary. So, when things come into your life, sit down and ask yourself, is it true, is it false, or I don't know? If she just said, I don't know, and left it go till she got to work, she would have saved herself all that energy and all that anger. Now, we know perfectly well, and the outside world teaches us, feel your anger, release your anger, and do that. That's all well and good to do. But any time that you are angry, it has to come up through your body. Why it's coming up through your body and living in your body? It is doing damage, people. It is doing damage. You see, you have to learn to control your thinking. You have to learn to control your thinking. Half the things that we're angry about, half the things we get upset about, we would not get upset or angry about if we knew the whole story. But we go off half-cocked all the time. And we don't know. But our mind wants to make something up, so it immediately makes something up. And if this was, I said to the person, by the way, I said, you must remind yourself that you're in a loving, caring, sharing relationship. Well, why should I do that? I said, is that the kind of relationship you want? She said, yes. I said, then you have to remind yourself that you're in a loving, caring, sharing relationship. Well, he's not doing... I said, that has nothing to do with it. You have to say, I'm in a loving, caring, sharing relationship. If she would have done all that, she would have saved herself all that anger and all that stuff. And when she got to work, she'd have found the email, you see. But she didn't go back to that. She didn't go back to that. Because she was judging by appearances. If you're going to judge by appearances in this world, you're not going to get very far, people. You see, appearance is only an appearance, it's an illusion. You are the one who has to make that the illusion that you want and not buy into the illusion that the world is putting in front of you, that your own mind is putting in front of you. Once you realize that what you are seeing is what you are thinking. I'll tell you a quick story about myself. A week or so ago, I bought some anise seed, and I bought it at World Market. Well, when I went to use the anise seed, nowhere to be found. I thought, well, did I really buy that? Did I do this? Did I do that? I went through all the empty bags. I looked in the spice cabinet I don't know how many times. And I finally said, now this is over a week. I finally said, I must have bought that. Where could it be? So I took everything out and laid down. Finally, there were the anise seeds. Now, why didn't I see the anise seeds? Because the packaging had changed, and I was used to seeing a different type of packaging. So, because in my mind I saw a different type of packaging, I could not see the anise seeds. What does that prove to you? You do not see with your eyes, you see with your mind. You do not see with your eyes, people, you see with your mind. I would have never found those anise seeds, you see, if I kept that picture in my mind of what I thought the packaging should look like. Because that's what I was seeing. But it was in a different package, and as soon as I laid them out and discovered it. And it took me three times even when I was doing that because I could not bring myself to go down to anise seed because when I saw that packaging, I dismissed it. I dismissed it immediately because it couldn't be the anise seed. That's not the package that come in. Very important to see what you're doing and what your mind is doing to you. Very important because of your demonstrations and so forth. Why? Because of your expectations and what you have in mind. The demonstration is in front of you and you cannot see it. And you cannot see it because it's not in the package you wanted it to be in. Not in the package you wanted it to be in. You see with your mind, not your eyes. So, let's go back. In the morning, you have to get up and know. Just another day in paradise. And I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. With that, let's do the matter thing. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. All right. I would like to clear something up that we had the other week, a question, I think it was August day, about treatment. And you were here at that time. And I said the five steps of treatment. This is the most succinct thing for treatment that I've ever found. So I made copies for you. So let's go over this. And here at the very beginning, treatment. Probably one of the greatest gifts of science of mind is the method of prayer known as treatment. Treatment is a scientific inducing within mind concepts, acceptances and realizations of whatever that particular need may be. You know, this religious science is a combination of all the truths from all the different religions and from all the different philosophies. Some people call this a religion, some people call it a philosophy. It doesn't matter what you wish to call it. But one of the most important things is this idea of treatment. That you can make a treatment and it has to work for you. Only religious science or science of mind makes that statement that it always works. It always works. Other people are a little leery on that. So, simply stated, treatment is a positive prayer. It can be done anywhere at any time, under any circumstances, and by anyone for the specific purpose of transforming the way life seems and experience. You see, you can change your experience, you can change your life with treatment work, with positive thinking, and with seeing what you want to see, not what is in front of you. Not what is in front of you. The technique is simple. The result is clearing out of negative thoughts so that the goodness of life can be perceived and experienced. People who are familiar with the mental equivalent, remember what Emmett Fox says, think of the negative thought as a nail in a board, and your positive thought is put on top of the other nail and you hammer that through. Now, that negative thought shoots out the back side of the board, and now you have a positive thought in there. You have to replace all the negativity with positive thoughts. So use that as a visualization when you're doing an affirmation. Realize that you're forcing the other out just like a nail through a board. Just like a nail through a board. There are indeed as many legitimate ways to pray or meditate as there are people. Please remember that. Treatment is simply a one well-tested method of prayer which can be learned by anyone. When starting off, a few simple guidelines help to establish a foundation from which to build. This method is by no means the only way to treat or pray. It is simply one approach based on the principles of religious science, principles which never fail. They are principles which never fail. They have been tested long enough. That's why it's called scientific prayer. Some people call it treatment or scientific prayer. We used to call this religious science, and they changed it to science of mind. But it's a scientific method, meaning that you can prove that it works. The other important thing to remember is that there is no particular way to pray. This is just one way. It sets up the mind for you. That is all you're doing here. If you can come up with a different thing, please use your own method. No one has one particular method. The other thing to remember is we are all on a path, but it's our own path. That path is all going in the same direction. But people think, oh, he's on a better path than I'm on. I'm going to jump over to his path. Don't be jumping over to other people's paths. Stay on the one that you're doing. And know that that's the one that you are on and it's for you. You see, you cannot say, I am divinely guided. And then when something comes in front of you that doesn't look good, doesn't look like it should be, you can't go off the deep end and say, well, I'm not divinely guided. When you make this statement, you're divinely guided, doesn't mean that all good's going to come, you're only going to have this wonderful, great life. Divinely guided means that you're guided into these different areas of your life to learn something. But the appearance may be horrible, you see. Wasn't in the package you thought. Wasn't in the package you thought. So you have to, along with getting up in the morning and saying, I'm in paradise, you always say, I'm divinely guided. I always take the right turn of the road, and God always makes a way where there appears to be no way. You have to realize that you're being guided every step of the way. once you know that you're being guided every step of the way, you can rest, you can surrender. Then you can let go and let God. You can't let go and let God if you think you're not being guided. How is that going to be possible? It's not. Before beginning, what's the purpose? Now here, remember we always say be specific. Deciding what specific purpose a treatment has is an important part of the process. You have to know exactly what you want. When intentions are clear, the results are all the more precise. When a prayer is vague or deals with several loosely defined desires, the results may be difficult to recognize. The purpose of a statement can be as simple, to find a perfect home, or as specific as to attract a prosperous and generous client base in the most convenient location. Spending a few moments thinking about the specific result desired will assist greatly in your treatment. So take a moment and sit down and say, what do I really, really want? What do I really want? What exactly do I want? And then be specific about that and ask for what you want. Most people are never taught to ask for what they want. Asking for what you want is one of the hardest things for people to do. And you have to be able to ask for what you want on every level of your life. What does that mean? What does that mean? I'll give you a big example right away, why most people can. What do you want sexually? Most people cannot tell you what they want sexually. They cannot ask for it. They cannot ask for it. They're afraid they'll get rejected. They're afraid it's outside the norm. They're afraid of all kinds of things. You have to be able to ask for what you want in every situation. In every situation. So train yourself to ask for what you want. More misery is brought into this world because people will not ask for what they want. And they think the other person is going to give it to them. If they think hard enough. See? No one is a mind reader. If you don't ask for what you want, you're not going to get it. But I watch relationships and all kinds of things go right down the tubes because they will not ask for what they want. And all they needed to do was ask. But they think, oh, the other person should know that. They should know what I want. The other person doesn't know what you want because the other person doesn't know what they want. You have to start to ask for what you want in every situation. This is what I want, or this is what I require. This is what I require. You see, if somebody gives you a cup of coffee, are you able to say, I want cream with my coffee, I require cream with this coffee, or do you just drink down the coffee? You see, ask for what you want. Ask for what you want. Especially when you're dealing with this thing called God, or this thing called principle, or this thing called mind, or this thing called the universe. Ask the universe for what you want. And if you think, oh, it's too bizarre, it's too this, that, and the other thing, believe you me, it's not. You cannot say that the universe, all things are possible, and then be afraid to ask for something. Can't be. Okay. So, step one, remember, is recognition. That recognition, you have to know that you're one with this thing called God. That's why the little cards that we have say, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. You have to know that you're connected to this power. Get this through your head, along with worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. That you are connected to this thing called God. There is no other way that that can be. You cannot make the big statement, all is God, and then say, but I'm not connected to that. I'm somewhere else. You're saying that would be separation, and we only teach unity. So you're some part of God. You may not be all God, because we all have to be together. But everything that we are is God. Everything that we are is God, but we are not all that God is, because God is everything. Remember, God is not in you like a raisin in a cookie. You are in God like a wave in the ocean. You are in God as a wave in the ocean. Think of that. Okay. So, the universal power which all things are possible. These statements are specific to the purpose selected. In other words, if the treatment is for health related, the following statement might be made. God is all there is. God is perfect, whole, complete, and the source of all health. The source of all health. Yesterday, in this 96 degrees, 70, whatever the heck it was out there, I started to come down with a cold. Well, I immediately sit down and treat it. And I said, the energy of the universe, this cosmic energy, is coursing through my body right here and right now. Every cell in my body is responding to that. I am healthy. I am healthy. Now, you may hear a little nasal quality. You may hear that. I don't dwell on that. I dwell on health. I dwell on health. And I can tell you by tomorrow morning, I will be whole and complete and perfect. Why is that? Because I know I'm whole, complete, and perfect. There's just a little dirt on the dish right now, people. Just a little dirt on the dish. And I will take that off this evening. But I take that off with my thinking. Then I do other things. Of course I have a cough drop. Of course I've been taking vitamin C. Of course I've been doing my neti cot. This is wisdom. This is wisdom. You see? That's the whole idea. Treat and move your feet. Treat and move your feet. Remember that old German proverb? Start to weave and God will furnish the thread. If I want to get healthy, I have to act healthy and I have to make a statement. I have to do something. I'm taking this vitamin C. Tonight, we went to eat at Chin Chin's. Why? Because I remembered their corn soup. And I always am healed with corn soup. Let that be a placebo. Let it be anything. But if my mind thinks that, off to Chin Chin's we went and I had an enormous big bowl of soup. I'm feeling absolutely wonderful. You see? But you don't dwell on the negative. You see? And when my mind says, oh, you know what they say, a cold takes 5 days. I said, forget that. I don't have 5 days to monkey with this. I have things to do. You see, I could have. Somebody said, are you teaching class? I thought, I always teach class. Don't. See, health. So you keep that in mind. So that's your first step, is to recognize that you're one with this power. Then, step two is unification. You have to unify with this. There's a power in the universe, and that power is a power for good. And I am part of that power. That's how you unify with it. You see, God is the only source there is, and I am some part of that source. You unify with that power so that you know that you and God are one in the same thing. If you don't know that, you have what's called separation. And when you separate yourself from the power, you cannot make a demonstration. It's always going to be coming together. It's always going to be unity. I am one with this power, and this power is working through me right here and right now to produce nothing but perfect health, because that's what it is perfect health. You say, for money, for abundance. There's only one source, only one supply, and that source and supply is God, and I am some part of that source and supply. Therefore, I must be rich. Therefore, I must be rich. Years ago, maybe 4 or 5, I asked you people if you were keeping a therefore book. The word therefore put it into your vocabulary and use it. God is never sick, therefore I cannot be sick. God is never poor, therefore I cannot be poor. Therefore, use that. Therefore, you see? And look at your example. What is always going to be the example? It's going to be God. So if God, if you can't see God is poor, sick, mean, hateful, resentful, therefore you cannot be either. Therefore. Use that word, therefore. I love it. Okay. Then, personalizing, step three, realization. Since God is all there is, and since each person is an expression of the perfect power, something wonderful is to be realized. In this step, the person praying speaks with a deep sense of conviction. You have to convince yourself. You have to have that conviction, which, in mental equivalent, Emmett Fox calls
warmth of feeling.
You need to know that right away.
I know. It's been a while.
That conviction is the warmth of feeling that you bring up. You have to get that warmth of feeling. You have to get excited. You see? You have to be excited. You have to use exciting words. Charles Fillmore, the founder of Unity, lived to be 97 years old. Cured himself of many things. One of his most famous treatments was, I sizzle with life. I sizzle with life. Now we see, when you use a word like sizzle, can't you see little, like around a steak or something, all the little things sizzling and coming up in the line, the bubbles and all that, you know? You're sizzling. Learn to sizzle. Learn to sizzle with life. Use words in your treatment that do something emotionally to you so that you can bring up this warmth of feeling so that you can have conviction of what you know, you see. So that you can have conviction. The conviction is, yes, there is a God. Yes, I am one with that God. And damn, that God will give me what I want. That's a conviction. You can't be mamby-pamby about it. You have to make big statements. When I was studying Raymond Charles Barker, one of the big ones in religious science, he's since made his transition. He was the one who had the famous church at Alice Tooley Hall in Lincoln Center in New York, and he was able to fill that hall every Sunday. So I did a treatment in one of the classes with him present. And he said, very good, Dallas, but louder. Conviction. Louder. Get some warmth in it. Get some feeling into it. Okay? In this step, one describes the truth about the situation, object, or result as seen from the perspective of oneness with God, related to health, one might say. We're going to read that later. You have to get this recognition and this connection and all this stuff going inside of you. And try visualizing it, try seeing it, but know that it's working. It's scientific treatment. It can be proved that it works. Otherwise, it's not science. You see, Christian Science works all the time. Christian Science people are still healing. The Christian Science people still heal. You see, because they have conviction. And because they know it's scientific. Okay, then, the fourth step is thanksgiving. Thank you is said. Now, this is very important. Not because there is a requirement to be polite to God, but simply because a true feeling of acceptance reflects a sense of gratitude. You have to have that thanksgiving and that gratitude. Not because you have to be polite with God. Not because you have to worship God. God never asks for worship. You have to remember that God is above worship. If God needed worship, God would be an ordinary person. You want to worship anybody, worship me. Just a joke. Don't think that you have to plead with God, that you have to please God, that you have to worship God in order for a treatment to work. You see, if you had to do that, it wouldn't be scientific, would it? See, it wouldn't be scientific. We're not working with a personality. God does not have a personality, people. God has a principle. You see? God doesn't have a personality. God has a principle. And you use that principle to make it work. Okay. And then, the release. Now you have to release this. Letting go means exactly that. Letting go. People will not let go. Then they want to dig it back up and they want to stir it and they want to do this. Remember, you're talking to intelligence. Talk to it intelligently. And don't think, I wonder if God heard that. Now, do you think God's deaf? You say, I'll say it again, and this time God will get it. I want to tell you that God gets everything instantly. God gets everything instantly. You don't have to repeat yourself. You're repeating yourself because you're not sure of yourself. You must be sure of God. God gets it. God gets it. So you release that. The same way, when you write a letter and you put it in the mailbox, you release that knowing that it's going to go where it's supposed to go. So you release the treatment. Okay. When a treatment is successful, a change of mind and heart takes place. All treatment is done in your mind. And treatment is done to change your mind and to change your heart. You see, that small little thing that we do, that affirmation, I am worthy, deserving, totally level on my matter. Why do we keep saying that? We keep saying that till you change your mind about yourself and till your heart recognizes that. You see? Now, we go back to the idea, change your mind, change your life. You cannot change the mind of God. God has everything ready and willing to give to you. The only thing you can do is change your mind. You're the one who has to know. God already knows you're whole, complete, and perfect. God already knows that you're total health. God already knows that you're worthy, deserving, and totally lovable. You don't know it. We don't know it. So we keep doing that till our mind tells us, you're right. And as soon as that happens, it filters right down into the heart. And you feel it. And you say, honest to goodness, I matter. And then you don't let anyone take that away from you. You don't let anyone take that away from you. You see? We use this power that we call God, because this power we call God is moving in as and through us all the time. But we have to change our mind about ourselves. You see? We have to change our mind about ourselves. You see? It's the whole idea that it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. The power will come through you. Anyway, if you want to be negative, that power will become negative for you. You see, what did I say a while back? God loves you so much that it allows you to turn it into anything you want it to be. Do you know anything else that can do that and is willing to do that? Look at relationships. Don't you always want to change the other person? And I'll be damned if you can do it, because they won't let you. But in the relationship with God, you say, God, I want you to be this. God will say, all right, I'll be that. And God becomes that. Does this make sense? You see? All right, let's go on. Look, here it is. Therefore, it would be appropriate to get on with the job. To get on with the job, once you make the treatment, there is no need to brood over the outcome. No need to brood. When's it coming? What's it going to look like? What's it? Is? You know. It's going to be there. It's going to be there. With this little disorder that's going on in my system at the present moment, I don't know when it's going to leave exactly. But I know it's going to leave. So I don't brood over, oh, is it going to be in an hour? Is it going to be here? Is it going to be there? I know the truth. What is the truth? I'm whole, complete, and perfect. There may be some dirt on the dish, but I have the health of God running through me right here and right now. And I go on about that. And that will come back. When my mind wants to go any other way, I pull it right back and say, oh no. Oh no. You see. You have to be able to do that. And then you really sat there. Okay. Releasing the treatment is an act of faith. It is a step in which everything is turned over to the power to which all things are possible. And with the trust and conviction. And with all the trust and conviction, you have to turn it over. You cannot say that this power, this thing that we call God, has all this power and knows exactly what to do, and then do a treatment and think it's not working. Where is your conviction? Everyone sits and says, I believe in God. I absolutely believe in God. And then they do a prayer or a treatment and they think, oh, I wonder if that's going to work. I wonder if that's going to work. It's going to work. It's going to work. So anyway, on the back side is the whole thing put together that you can go and do yourself. It's the whole prayer put down in the five steps. Now, the thing to remember is there is no magic in the five steps. The five steps are there merely to organize your mind. When I do treatment work, I always have the five steps in there, but they may be completely out of order. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Why? Because it's the conviction and the faith behind it that counts. But this is a scientific way to do it. If you do it this way till you get familiar, then you can do anything that you want with it. And then believe that you're absolutely hearing. That you're absolutely hearing that. You see? And that this thing, this power, is operating on it instantly. Immediately. You see? That's the way it's done. So, there they are. The five steps. So that you know how to do treatment. Because we talk about treatment all the time, and some people may not have known the five steps. But here again, the magic is in you. It's always going to be you doing it. So, know that you're powerful. Know how powerful you are. Know how wonderful you are. And learn to ask for what you want. You have to ask for what you want. And then know that you can have it. Know that you can have it. So put off. So many people in their lives are waiting and waiting and waiting. Don't wait any longer. Ask for what you want. And you will get it. You will get it. Remember. That's all there is to it. Keep knocking and the door will open. You have to keep knocking, and the door will open. You are not being ignored. Not being ignored. Now, back to the idea of becoming more and so forth. This, produce your own life. And Rhoda, you will remember this person. This is Michael Hauser. Remember Michael Hauser? Very wonderful little thing. We won't read the whole thing. We'll just talk a little bit about it. Whole idea here is to become a warrior, a spiritual warrior. If you want to become more, start becoming a spiritual warrior. Start believing in these things and then acting upon them instead of just bringing them out whenever you need them. Try every day using it. Try seeing things differently. How are you going to become more if you don't start seeing things differently? You see, you have to do different things. You have to think differently. You have to come from a different situation so that you can see that. Remember last week we talked about moving your mode of operation from the operation, from this mode that you're in now of always thinking the same thoughts, always doing things the same way. Move out of that and say, oh, I think I could think differently here. I think I could become more in this situation, you say. That's how you're going to become more. Otherwise, you're going to stay where you are. All the things that you want, all the qualities that you want in your life are inside of you now. You were brought to this plane of action complete. You're not missing anything. You see, people think they're missing something, that they have to get something. You don't have to get anything. You have to uncover what you already have. Everything is inside of you. Nothing can be added to you. Nothing can be added to you. The world teaches it that you have to add something. You see, the world uses the word educate, to educate, meaning pound some knowledge into somebody's head. Educate does not mean that. Educate means to draw out. To draw out. Teachers are not taught that. But good teachers know that. Everything is in the student. All you have to do is draw it out. All you have to do is bring them to a point where they can recognize that within themselves. And that's what education is all about. It comes from the Greek word. It means to draw out, to pull out, not to stuff in. But the world, if you'll ever notice, does everything backwards from what this teaching tells you. You see, and that's why it's difficult sometimes to understand. I grew up, I was in the Boy Scouts. We were taught God first, others second, and self third. The whole world believes that God first, others second, and self third. In this teaching, you're first, others are second, and God's third. Because if you don't love yourself first, you cannot love somebody else. If you don't love somebody else, you cannot love God. And people want to love God and they don't love themselves. There's no way you can love God without loving yourself. If you don't love yourself, you cannot love God. Loving yourself is the highest form of worship you can give God. Why? Because all you are is God, but you are not all that God is. So if you don't love yourself, how are you going to love God? That is why when you go to a Christian church or out there brand name churches, all those miserable people are sitting there. They hate themselves, but they're trying to love God. You see, you can't do it. You have to love yourself. You see, you have to love yourself. And then it comes back to you because you and God are one in the same. So it's always going to start, always. Everything is going to start with you and move out from there. So think of those things when you're trying to make yourself more, you see. Now, along with this, learning to love yourself, and you hear me talk about that all the time, and learning that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, that you matter, learning that you're wonderful human beings and so forth. Now, along with this learning to love yourself, you have to learn to love your life. You have to learn to love the life you're leading. Oh, but I have the job. I have a life. You don't understand my job. It's as good as that. You have to love where you are every moment. It is your life. It is your life. You see. Once you start to love where you are, things change. Things change. If you always hate where you are, you're always going, oh, it's going to be awful. You learn to love where you are at every moment. The whole world changes. Everything you see changes. Difficult one to understand because most of this stuff is experiential. You have to experience it. But here again, it's scientific. So try it. Try it. If you don't like where you are at the present moment, start to like where you are at the present moment. Start to look around and see what a wonderful life you have. And lo and behold, you'll start to have a wonderful life. But if you don't do that, no. It's going to be a miserable life. And we know lots of people leading miserable lives. I don't want to be around people who lead a miserable life. No, no. Let those miserable people go with themselves over there. I want to be around people that love themselves and love their life. Meaning they love every moment. They love what they're doing. They love. And they love themselves. Can you see how much different and your attitude would change and everything would change once you learn to love everything around you? You see? This is the downfall of brand name churches. They never say to somebody, oh, do you love yourself? No. Do you see anything good about yourself? No, because they stand up and they say, you know, you're not worthy. Remember, I went to that church. We had to stand up and say, even though I'm unworthy and da 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 da, well, I couldn't do it. I said to them, I'm not doing it. I believe I'm worthy. Why do you want to do that to yourself, you see? How about the ones that people go to the therapist and the therapist tells you all the bad things about yourself? You don't get anywhere by people telling you how bad you are. I know exactly how bad I am. I want people to tell me how good I am. So be around people who want to build you up, want to say nice things about you. And you'll draw those people into your life. You'll draw all that stuff into your life. Are you biting your tongue, Carol?
Yeah. What was that thing you said last week that your friend went to watch?
Oh, yes.
What was that?
You look, take your hand, put it out, look at the palm, and go, healed.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah. Do that, you're healed. Stop waiting to be healed. You have to heal yourself. Yes, just go. Heal in any situation. In any situation, you're the one that's going to be doing that. These things are fun. These things are fun, they're funny, but they're simple. And that's what life should be. Simple. Life is not supposed to be difficult. We're the ones who make life so difficult. You're here to enjoy yourself. You're here to have fun. You're here to remember who you are. You're here to remember who you are and how wonderful you are. You see? How can you think that you're miserable or you're this or you're that if you know that you're one with God? If you know that you're one with God. Now, is there anyone here who, when I say that you're one with God, your mind says, oh no, I'm not? And if you are, who else could you be one with? Who else could you be one with? You know, this is not only scientific, this teaching is very logical. It goes right back to the truth. It always will go back to the truth that God is the source of everything. And that God is the supply of everything. Once you know that, you worry about that connection. Not about your job, not about all that stuff on the outside. Once you make a connection with God, once you realize that God is the source of your supply, you can lose job after job after job after job. And you will still be supplied. Because God is the supply, not the job. The job is a channel, people. Anywhere you're getting any of this stuff that you think you have is only a channel. that God is using at the present moment. And since all things are possible, and since this is an abundant universe, there are many channels to use. But when we get one channel, we think, oh, I've got to hang on to that channel. It's the only one God will ever give me. I bet God says, oh, how boring. Don't they know I can give you many more? You see, you have to know. Oh, you see, you have to know that there are channels. And you can move from channel to channel. You can have several channels coming. And you can have all kinds of streams of income coming in. But we were taught by the world that you only have one stream of income. And this is a learning that you have more. We have to do all this for ourselves. But start by knowing that you're one with God. That you're a wonderful human being. That you're worthy, deserving, truly lovable, and that you matter. And then make your life wonderful. Make your life wonderful. You see? You can believe in reincarnation if you want to. I have nothing against reincarnation. But let's suppose that this is the only life you're ever going to have. Why do you want to fritter it away by thinking that it's not a good life? By thinking you're not having fun? Why do you want to do that to yourself? You see? When I'm ready to make my transition, I want to be able to say, geez, I did a damn good job. I had fun. I had fun. You see, I enjoyed every moment of it. I enjoyed every moment of it. And yes, we made mistakes. Oh my goodness, I could tell you all the mistakes. I could tell you everything. We have to become more. We have to become more by giving up the labels that we placed on ourselves. Now, the other thing I've told you before, the things that I ask you or tell you can be, it's possible. I do that because I went through most of them. I went through most of them. Yes, people told me I was an alcoholic. I do not drink, nor do I consider myself an alcoholic. When I changed my mind about that, when I rose in consciousness to a different consciousness, I was no longer that person. So the person that used to drink is no longer inside of me anywhere. But I had fun while I was drinking. I used to smoke 4 packs of cigarettes a day. Gave that up. Oh, horrible. My car looked like an ashtray. In fact, I think people called it the ashtray. Gave that up. Gave that up. Many other addictions I could tell you. You see, I have an excessive personality. And I think nothing exceeds like excess. You see, I can become addicted to anything instantly. But I know that about myself. And I don't do it. I'm the one that's choosing here. You see, if I think that the bottle of booze is telling me to drink it, now that's not right. That who's in charge. Or that I have no control over nicotine because, oh, you know, the nicotine, that's one of the worst, they'll tell you. One of the worst. They will also tell you when you stop smoking that you will gain weight. I said, no way am I gaining weight. I should have gained, 400 pounds at 4 packs a day. Months after stopping smoking, they said, oh, you'll never be able to do it. I ran the marathon. Never ran in my life. Trained my own self and ran. Because I don't like people who tell me I can't do something. So I did it. Many other little things along the way. What I have learned in life is this. Life is a process of giving up things. Life is a process of giving up things and making your journey light. If you're carrying 4 packs of cigarettes, I never went out of the house without a carton. God, that. And a big, people would say, here comes Dallas with his carton of cigarettes. Yeah, oh, I was addicted. So I have cigarettes, I have booze, you know. When I say I drank a half a gallon of bourbon a day. I never bought a little fifth or anything, I bought gallons, you know. I was once in the hospital in New York for hepatitis. And the doctor says, do you drink? I said, oh, I have a bottle of wine in the evening. He said, oh, I don't think that's much. I didn't tell him it was a gallon. I always bought wine by the gallon, you see. But the most marvelous thing is, you get lighter and lighter as you give these things up when you realize that you don't need them. You don't need any of this stuff. And you keep giving things up, you just become lighter. You become lighter. Now your mind can think of other things instead of, am I going to get enough money to buy a bottle of booze? So, what I'm saying is, I am not telling you that these things are impossible. And I'm not telling you that you have to do it and I didn't. And I'm also not telling you that I am better, different, stronger, or anything than you are, because I'm not none of those things. But I'm telling you, if I can do it, you can do it. And it's wonderful. So are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.